Hey everyone, thank you for joining me for episode 5 of Future Show, the twice weekly talk show about the future with Jonathan Myers, that's me, and my guests. Today's guest is my longtime friend John H. Ratajak, and we are going to talk about the liberation of smartwatches, knowing what time it is, cricket bars, award ceremonies as a service, that's very cool, GMOs, Fuller House, a musical treat by yours truly, and a very meta sign-off, so prepare yourself for this one, it's going to be good. We're going to talk about the future of wrist watches. I think that they will continue on forever. I don't think that people are going to get rid of wrist watches.
What if through some other future of something else, we lose hands?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good call. Like if we become cyborgs, you know, and we decide that octopus arms.
Light, yeah.
Or beings of incandescent.
Yeah.
Oh man, the future. Edison showed us the future.
Yeah, but do you think we'll still reach out a brilliantly glowing like angel like proboscis and it'll have like a Seiko on it still?
Yeah.
All right.
You're still going to distinguish each other. Right. Oh, that's a Rolex.
Yeah. When we are beings of pure unadulterated light and have no concept of time as anything but a cycle, a large cycle that is everything.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You still gotta show your friends. You still gotta show your boss that you mean business and you're gonna get the job done on time.
Yeah.
Seiko. For life.
There's some people I work with that have different kinds of what like Apple watches and different wearables like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like still a rude gesture
to look at your watch. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't
yeah.
Really,
looking at your watch.
It's not any more discreet. I've even seen, I was out in Seattle and I saw one person had it, the flip around method where face of the watch was on the inside of their wrist. And they did, you know, that number. Like,
yeah. But it's still obvious that they're looking at their watch.
Yeah. Unless they have a wrist rash, like there's no reason to check up on that space.
John, I don't wear watches. And sometimes I feel like, man, I'm not with it. I don't know. I just, if I need to know the time,
yeah, you got,
I have a digital smartphone thing.
There are a myriad screens screaming.
There are clocks everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Coldplay song.
Look in the corner of some computer monitor.
Yeah. You old grandpa. Yeah. stop looking at your hand.
Yeah. But I don't think timepieces are going to go away because it's a signal, a symbol of something.
But again, at the end of all history, when there is no time or space.
Well, we could just go out a few years. 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What I mean, do you think? Okay, let's talk about the near future of watches. What do you think about the comeback of pocket watches?
Pocket
watches.
Do you
think it'll
happen? No, I don't think so.
No pocket wearable technology.
Well, I suppose we already have pocket watches, John. But they're not. watches. But to have something that is, well, and to be fair, smartwatches aren't watches.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're not timepieces, I should say.
Yeah, you know what? They're not even really good computers either. They're like slave units is what it feels like. They're not really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. Yeah. That was a weird thing that killed it for me is that they weren't their own thing. So maybe that's the future of watches is that they will become, they're actually their own computer. They become their own person.
Mm. So you want to see watches, smartwatches liberated to become actually smartwatches.
Yeah.
Because maybe they're
not
so smart right now.
Yeah. I think that's what I want. I think maybe not smartwatches. I'm not going to make that value call. I'm going to say I want them to be a computer, a better computer.
A computer on your wrist.
As good as a phone.
Yeah. A wrist computer.
To where maybe you don't have phones. Maybe that's the future of phones.
Is
also the future of watches.
Like Dick Tracy.
Like Dick Tracy. That feels really weird, though. Did you see the Total Recall reboot?
I haven't seen it.
It's not great.
Okay.
But they had implants in your hand.
Okay.
And so it would like light up, so you could go up to like it looked like just a glass, but it was an information kiosk. You could touch it, and it would like respond to your
QR code
and
on
then,
your hand.
And then you would talk. You would like go beep boop 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 and like just talk, like hold your hand up to your face and talk to it, which I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then it became clear because a person was doing that as, you know, Total Recall, and they're also shooting a gun. I was like, you know, it seems like they could make it to where you could
hands
have
free.
Both your
hands free.
Hands free. So maybe we are moving away from the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just, oh man, what if they just put the atomic clock like in your babies? You know what I mean?
Like little atomic clocks.
When they put when they put your little phone at the base of your spine in the future, you know what I mean? It'll have a clock and you'll just know.
Oh, like you can almost like you have a time sense. No, but people do have a sense of time. I mean, there are individuals who know what time it is.
Exact sense of time.
Oh,
like, can you imagine that?
I see.
Not having to like query something to put the digits in front of you so then you then comprehend it. Mm-hmm. It's like cut out the middleman. There's no reading. You just like, you know, what time is it? Well, it feels like it's about 4:03. Well, it is. It is.
It's 4:37 and 7 seconds, eight seconds, 9 seconds. Yeah.
Which is funny because now then there would be the understanding that everyone late is doing it willfully.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're just late.
Why are you late?
Yeah.
You know what time it is. You know exactly what time it is. I
sprang forward last night. It really threw me off. No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Didn't throw anyone off.
You were aware of it at 2:00 in the morning.
It's going to be people like us who are like 50 on the job. And it's our 20-year-old manager who doesn't understand that we're new to time knowledge, universal human time knowledge.
I got an older model in my, at the base of my spine.
I was having trouble fusing to the all core.
Yeah. I just, it's really easy. I can't believe you're.
No, the little thing goes out, and then I'm not aware of the sum of all human knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. Just, it's like wink.
It's like a loose connection.
Yeah, you got to jiggle it.
I saved some money. I got the third-party cable.
Yeah, I got the one you just plug in the wall, and you get like 200 channels.
Oh, boy. I don't remember where I was going to go, but that's okay.
I don't know, John, this is a great premise for a show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. And we're just talking. We're just talking about the future.
Exactly. And it's great. It's
Here
a great prompt.
If you're tuning in just now, we're talking about the future. I don't know how you're tuning in just now.
I feel I owe you $30 for this idea. I'm not even going to. Yeah, I'm just contributing to you.
Oh, yeah, John, that's the secret plan of this show is that by talking about the future, we're coming up with business ideas that ideally. No, we're changing the world. You and me, John, right here during this half hour of internet, we are changing the future by we'll come up with business ideas and whatnot. And then some smart Joe who wears a wristwatch, mm-hmm. who knows what time it is, will run with these ideas and advance humankind.
I feel like this podcast is really good in that it is a perpetual setup for that scene in movies where they're like, wait, say that again? Oh, you're a genius. Or, that's so crazy. It just might work. Like that kind of thing.
Oh,
this podcast is the precursor for that conversation to happen over and over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
John, I couldn't help but notice you just ate some spaghetti or something.
I was handed some spaghetti off camera.
John.
I was brought in as a second opinion to see if it was al dente.
Al dente.
Punxsutawney Phil did not see the spaghetti.
Mm, so it's not al dente.
I mixed,
No, or it is it?
I think I mix my metaphors.
Yeah.
Sorry.
John, the future of food. Crickets, what do you think? You into crickets? You into locusts?
Yeah, I would like to try that. I don't know if there's like a cool, like Whole Foods way for me to eat that yet. Like if it's in a bar. You know, like they have like the jerky bars now.
Oh yeah, that's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe
if they make like a Kind bar with a cricket and blueberry yogurt.
No, there is a thing. Maybe it's not in Whole Foods as yet. There are like a couple brands of cricket like energy protein bars or whatever.
I think that's a good way of doing it. Mm-hmm. John, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you and your listeners that Michael Pollan's book Cooked got made into a 4-part Netflix documentary, and that is on fire. That'll get you fired up about food.
Yeah, especially the first episode.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Let's leave that joke hanging out there, and when people come back after they've seen the first episode, mm-hmm. that's for them.
Yeah. They will tweet at Future Show and say, I get the joke.
Yeah, I get it. I'm all fired up.
Yeah.
At John H. Jack. It'll be me.
Yeah. It'll be you. You're going to do it. Okay. I'll be waiting for that tweet. Boy, John, it's great to, what's the future of plot devices, huh?
God, I don't know. I feel some good rapport going on right now. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for those of our listeners that don't know, John and I have a podcast called The Plot Devices. Currently, you can find it at soundcloud.com/theplotdevices,
mm-hmm.
where John and I have it's a funny podcast.
It is a funny podcast.
Yeah, where we make up plots to movies that we haven't seen, just the trailer.
But we watch the trailer.
We watch the trailer. I still think
the Rango episode is pretty funny.
That is a funny episode. John, have you ever thought about starting your own awards ceremony? I was just thinking about how like the Oscars is made up, you know, it's arbitrary. Like so many award ceremonies are arbitrary.
Yeah. How do you get that legitimacy?
I think you got to come up with a business plan and find some investors.
Okay. So I see two ways of this going.
Okay.
You either set out you just like, I want to make an award show, and you start handing out awards within a specific genre.
Oui.
And then as you keep being consistent with that, people give you more and more legitimacy, or you set out to start a legitimate something entity. And then you're like, well, we're going to give out awards.
Yeah.
Cause like the Michelin 5-star rating.
Yeah.
They're a tire company.
Yeah.
And they're just like,
John,
oh, we're gonna
I was talking about this just today.
Right. Yeah. Michelin tires.
About the Michelin 5-star. And is that the tire company? Yeah. Oh, in fact, it is. Yeah.
It is, in fact, the tire company. You know, the other thing is crazy is that, have you been to a Michelin star restaurant?
I haven't, but I was thinking about it today.
Holy crap. John, to get a Michelin star is actually like a huge deal. And it's like, you're really, really like, it's the quality of food is... Like, go eat at a 1-star Michelin restaurant.
Okay.
Like, do it. Mm-hmm. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that much difference in my mind.
Not that much difference what? Oh, you
between
mean between
the
a 1-star and a 2-star?
Yeah.
Like, if it gets into the Michelin star, like, well, this has a Michelin star.
Right.
It's worth the $200 a plate that you're going to spend.
Yes. I mean, you play it by ear. Play it safe, right? Like, don't go, like, maybe someone chase it a Michelin star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, pay attention.
Really, really check that spelling.
Yeah, I feel like that goes without saying. But, yeah, you're gonna wanna go to a Michelin.
John, you could do that.
Yeah. The future of awards shows.
Or you could start your own... Because you're a food connoisseur. You enjoy
food.
You enjoy cooking.
I feel like I should have given a better answer for the food thing, but
it's cool.
Yeah.
But I think that you could do that. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a business idea for the future.
Okay.
A web platform that makes it easy for you to start up your own awards thing.
Oh, wow. So you're just going to soak the market.
I'm going to flood the market with awards. Yeah. John, our generation needs these awards.
But here's the thing. You're going to be the only platform as a service website providing easy
awards
easy
as a service. Yeah.
For your own awards as a service platform.
Yeah.
Take this to Palo Alto.
Yeah.
It's called like Awardsy.
Yeah. Wait, is there, there is an awards... Right? Yeah, there is. Yeah.
It'll be,
we'll come up with our own name. It's no big deal. Yeah, no big deal. Right. But okay. It'll make it easy for people like you and me to be like, oh, man, I really want to start giving out awards for,
Do you think awards will become more populist in the future, or they'll be more, oligarchical? It's like a shadow council picks the Oscars.
Right.
Of people who have Oscar votes. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the ones where it's like the Kids' Choice Awards and you just dial in a special number. I think Nick Cannon is the funniest guy.
Yeah. I do too.
Or like, who do you prefer, Drake or Josh?
Yeah.
I don't know what the children watch.
No, yeah. I think that's a good model there.
Do you think it'll just be eternal struggle between the two models, or do you think one will prevail?
No, I think that there's always going to be both, because I think that some people will feel like, oh, well, People's Choice kind of awards, like when the people are choosing the award, what do people know? You know, I want some governing body to say what's the best thing, you know, and then I can just follow along with that. But then there will also be people who want to say, no, we're going to decide who's the best. We're going to vote on this. The people will tell you who has the best stuff.
Yeah. I don't know what do you leave up to the people or not. You know what I mean? Seems
right.
Like everybody's got opinions on the Oscars, but I don't know that I could speak intelligently as to the best editing.
Right.
Like that seems like it's a bit artistic.
Yeah.
To where I would defer to someone, you know, a bit more astute in that area.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. John.
Yeah.
I read John. An article today.
Okay.
John, what do you think? What do you think about GMO?
Oh, genetically modified organisms?
Mm-hmm. Particularly GMFs.
What's an F?
Foods. Genetically modified. Oh, foods.
Yeah, sure. I'm against generally. I'm kind of not convinced that they're the savior of humanity.
Okay.
Here's where I don't like genetically modified foods. Because there's the argument of people who are like, you know, we've been genetically modifying foods forever. Ask that old sod Gregor Mendel about GMOs, and he would give you a thumbs up. Because he did. He crossbred plants. He's a monk. Mm-hmm. And so that's like technically genetically modified food.
Right.
Where I don't like GMOs. Because I've heard the argument that if you genetically modify food, you should it's helping to make bigger, more consistent crops to help feed lots more people.
Right. I think the issue is scalability.
To me, the issue is not scalability, but intent. Because the genetically modifying that I tend to not like is the ones where it's for profit, where they're trying they're just trying to increase shelf life by putting this preservative in the food, or I'm trying to increase tastiness by like increasing the salt, but then, advertising that the, sugar is down, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That kind of like food manufacturing. But I mean, the fundamental idea, like the idea of like, well, we're going to try to like cross some tomato genes so we can make a big tasty tomato that's easy to grow and feeds lots of people. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I just don't know who's in charge of like spearheading that effort to grow giant tomatoes for everyone so
right.
No one can be starving.
Yeah.
There you go. I said a good food thing.
Yeah. That was a, yeah, that was a good food thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, Michael Pollan's Cook, now 4-part series on Netflix.
Netflix.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Good.
This episode is not brought to you by Netflix yet.
Yet.
But what does it matter? Because they're getting free advertising anyway.
Yeah. Maybe we can get a couple months free.
Ooh.
Oh, John, what do you think the future of Full House is? Because I don't know if you've seen Fuller House, but it is an atrocity to both God and country.
Oh, you're not into it.
Oh, man, it's just like, and I don't know if maybe my nostalgia wasn't strong enough to make up for the shortcomings of that show, but it's all just like tongue in cheek, look at the camera, kind of like,
oh really?
Hey, don't we all still look so good? Kind of things. Oh. Like I watched the first episode, and I only made it like 5 minutes in.
Yeah, but I mean, that's got it. That the pilot, you have to expect that there's going to be like,
that's
there's
true.
A lot of feeling and nostalgia about this. You've got to kind of get caught up, right?
Here's what I will say was the funniest part that I saw about Fuller House is that DJ Tanner became a DJ, and her DJ name was DJ Tanner, which is really, really funny to me. Like, it was on her laptop. The back of her laptop was a sticker that said DJ Tanner.
That was a
good laugh.
You know, that what's funny about that is that there's already been probably lots of DJ Tanners.
Right.
Like, do you get it? Because this is about, like, this is like Full House. I'm a real DJ, right. But this is DJ Tanner.
Yeah.
And then it's like coming back around.
Right. Yeah.
It's funny. I feel like they got it. You know, it's low. That's low hanging fruit, you know? Just pick it off.
The whole show is low hanging fruit. That one was kind of, you don't expect, I don't know.
You know, it's just occurring to me that I'm not all that familiar with each of the characters. And that I, for some reason, I always thought that Stephanie was DJ Tanner.
Oh, yeah, no.
But she's Stephanie because she wanted to change her name to Dawn.
Yeah, Step On Me and Dawn to Dawn Dawn. I remember that episode.
Yeah.
That's crazy that occupies such a clear and present point in my mind.
Yeah, well, there was just something about that one. And then also the one where Stephanie got glasses and she felt really self-conscious about that. And then there's some episode with drugs, because there's always an episode about drugs in family situation comedy.
I remember one. Okay, I think I remember a drugs one, but it was a drinking one.
Yeah, and there was a
were they driving the wrong way in a like a fancy car, like a Lamborghini or something? They're driving in the wrong lane, as teenagers are wont to do. Whoa. The episode, another episode that's fixed in my mind is where she like walks around the table with
the guy,
a stereotype of a gypsy, and that means they're married, and they have to do something elaborate to like get unmarried in the eyes of.
You can't just walk around the table backwards.
yeah, I don't remember how that one panned out, but he was wearing like lederhosen, and like I think he might have been from Balgi Bartokomos's country of Meepos, because the TGIF. World had an internal logic.
Yeah, too. I think it does. I think it all makes sense together. John, no, I think, wait, who does the theme song? Is it the same guy?
I think it might be, but also I think they did crossover episodes where like the code man met Stephen Urkel. Steve Urkel. I think.
I believe that. I vaguely recall that kind of a thing.
Okay.
John, I've been, I was thinking about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And how he did Step by Step, the guy who did the theme song to Full House, he did Full House, Family Matters, Step by Step, at least.
Yep.
He might have done more.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what I was, I think actually what I'm wanting to get to, I don't think I actually have a point, except that, John, I memorized the Family Matters theme song, and I'd like to sing it for you right now.
Okay, I think, can you interweave Full House lyrics, because I actually kind of feel it's the same song.
Let's see.
Which one's
that is Family Matters.
Oh,
and
really?
It's a rare condition in this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. Love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say is even harder to find.
That's good. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls. Because all I see is a tower of dreams.
That's a weird
real
one.
Love bursting out of every scene. Days go by. It's a bigger love of the family.
Whatever happens.
The milkman, the paper boy, and evening TV. Just wasn't in. I don't know this. I don't know the words to that one. I haven't memorized that one yet.
Everywhere you go, everywhere
it's a heart. There's a heart. Samba dump bow down.
Everywhere we lost out there,
and you're all alone. Life is waiting to carry you home. Everywhere you look.
Boom.
Everywhere you look.
Boom. 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 What's the future of jingles or theme songs?
More of them.
Mm-hmm.
The more the merrier. The more the merrier, I say. I wonder, actually, okay, John, tell me this. Does Fuller House have...
Yeah, they have a re-recorded theme song.
But is it...
With Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, really?
Carly Rae Jepsen does it, I think.
Does it have a similar feel at all to the Full House one?
Yeah, so the chorus is good, but then it's the blues. There's verses to the song that Carly Rae Jepsen sings, and there's like, it's that blues riff. Oh wait, that's the Family Matters one. How's the Full House?
Full House.
Is that it? Yeah, okay. No, that's As Days Go By.
That one is that's Full House. That's Full House. They are very similar because he has a style, you know.
It's the same song though.
Well,
it's just like
kind of.
It's the same way. All the young folks. That song is the same as Pumped Up Kicks. Is the same song.
Yeah,
I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that guy again.
Yeah.
Maybe he's back with Pumped Up Kicks and the young folks.
Cause we don't care about the young folks. That was a
That
was a bad mashup there.
Rain it in.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I apologize on behalf of myself. Well, John, I think we've talked
John,
about
how
some good things.
All right. We did good work.
Yeah. John, can I have you back on the show? Will you be back on the show?
John, absolutely.
Okay. We could talk about the future of napkins and spaghetti.
And manners.
And the future of manners. Do they exist in the future?
Yeah.
They do. I think they do.
Effervescent light.
Mm-hmm. It'll still be rude to look at your super light wristwatch.
Yeah, super light. Your dark matter wristwatch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what's the future of the end of the show?
Well, the music starts coming in, and
play it out. Get meta. All this is a notepad for you later when you edit.
The music starts coming in, and
do you have sponsors yet, or
not yet?
So the music's just still going at this point. We're just still talking.
Well, no, the music, we're already cut out, I think. Gone.
I think you got to keep the music going while we're talking. This is a funny bit.
No, it is a funny bit. Because
we're
it's
exploring
very,
the future of the end of this show.
Yes, we are.
Dory could have
I'm gonna and then I actually have a sign off where I interrupt this and say something like, well, that's it for this show. Thanks everyone for joining me, and thank you to my guest, John Ratajczak, John H. Ratajczak, for joining me.
Hey,
I really appreciate it. And I can do this, John. I can do this. Let me pull it up. It's not up in front of me. I actually read a thing. I read a thing.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I'm trying to get profesh with this.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sign off. So here's how I do. I do.
Uh-huh.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Future Show. Thanks also to John H. Ratajczak for being my guest. You can find him on Twitter at, what is it?
John H. Ratajczak.
It's just John H. Ratajczak, one word.
Good luck spelling that.
Yeah, Ratajczak, that's Rata and then a Polish Jack. Right?
Oh,
it is Polish, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh,
so you
man.
Know how you'd expect to spell that.
Put that on my grave.
I would love to hear from you guys. Feel free to communicate with me on Twitter at Future Show Show. The website is Future Show Podcast. You can find other episodes and notes and stuff.
Cool.
The show's also on iTunes, so check it out. And while you're there, feel free to leave a review. It really helps out the show. Thanks very much. And just remember, the future can happen at any moment.